another, forgive them. Powerful words when you get to understand the statements that Jesus Christ made on the cross. The first statement is, Father, forgive them. Today we're going to be looking at the seven last statements of Jesus Christ while He was on the cross. But before we look at Father, forgive them, I want to set the stage and give you some history and some background as to what has taken place in the life of Jesus Christ. If you remember, Christ was betrayed by Judas in the garden. And that began a process of six illegal trials by five different judges. It began in the garden approximately at 1 a.m. And it said that Christ, at 3 p.m. the next day, breathed His last breath. Actually said that it was at the ninth hour. Christ went without food and water and sleep for a long, long period of time. And as He hung on that cross, He made these seven very, very important statements. From 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, from 9 in the morning until noon, it was daylight. From noon until 3, if you remember, there was a darkness that filled the land that was described as almost eerie. I believe the timing is significant as you look into the two different periods of light and then darkness. The first three statements of Christ were said when it was daylight. The last four were said when it was darkness. The first three have to do with other people. The last four have to do with Christ Himself. The first three have to do with His horizontal relationship with other people around Him. The last four have to do with His vertical relationship with God. The first three had to do with compassion. The last four had to do with deal with His suffering and His meaning of death. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 32 through 34. Luke 23, verse 32 through 34 is, two other men, both criminals, were also led out to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they were crucified. There they crucified Him along with the criminals, one on His right and the other on His left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up His clothes by casting lots. The Roman place of the crucifixion was known by all. Everyone knew where the crucifixion of a certain person would take place. It's described as the Skull or Golgotha. And the crucifixion was a inhumane, brutal death that basically led to people suffering and suffocating to the point of death. History would say that the victims would often scream and curse, specifically directed at those people who were crucifying them, even to the point of screaming and cursing and cursing to the people who were even closest to them when they were on the cross. And yet Christ had it even worse. He was scourged, He had no food, He had no water, and for 14 hours Christ went through this. And yet when He went on the cross, His first statement was, Father, forgive them. I still try to wrap my mind around that thought and those first words that He said. And I just can't. I just can't understand how Christ could say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Couple observations here. First of all, the words of Christ fulfill prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11 and 12, Isaiah the prophet, seven centuries before, writes this, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The first words of Christ on the cross was fulfilling prophecy. He fulfilled what Isaiah wrote 7 centuries before. And Christ offers a prayer here for the most vile and the most guilty. The second statement, the second observation I see here is that in Luke chapter 23, and you can't understand this just in the English text, but in the Greek text, it's continued action. When Christ makes the statement, Father, forgive them, he just doesn't make it once. He makes it over and over. And we don't know how many times he made it, but we know that he made that statement at least twice. While they were nailing his wrist to the cross, I mean, they were nailing his feet to the cross, when they lifted him up, when they dropped him in that hole, maybe it was at that time when he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 36, it said that the watch guards stopped and they begin to watch over him. The guards who their whole life was just to execute people stopped. And it's as though they sat down and they just looked up at the cross. If I'm a guard, I'm thinking, why is he saying, forgive them? Why is he making that statement? Obviously, the words caught their attention. Father, forgive them. When was the last time, do you think, a person who was in charge of the crucifixion heard those words? They were used to hearing language that would make sailors blush. And not until heaven will we know the fruit of the prayer of Jesus Christ while he was on that cross saying, Father, forgive them. And as the bystanders stood there and watched, you wonder how many of them and their hearts were changed. We know one person came to Christ, and that was the person right next to him on the cross. As we look at this prayer, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It basically is broken up into 4 parts. The prayer of Jesus Christ is addressed to someone, and that someone is his Father. The next time he cries out to his Father on the cross, he will cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But at this point right now, Christ is crying out and he's saying, Father. And that term Father and that term Son is a beautiful relationship. It's a unique, perfect relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God. And as he begins, he says, Father. The prayer also offers a request. Forgive them. Up to this point in the life of Christ, he has never asked God the Father to forgive anyone. He himself has forgiven sins. And what's neat to see is it always infuriated the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Who do you think you are? He would answer them and they didn't like the answer and they'd walk away moping and upset. But think about this statement. Father, forgive them. The request is, I want you to forgive them. And so I sat back last week and I began thinking about this. And I know we can't do it in human terms, but let's try to make this applicable for me. If someone pressed a crown of thorns on my head, would I say, forgive them? If someone stripped me naked for the world to see, would I say, Father, forgive them? If someone punched me numerous times in the face, if someone took the skin off of my back, would I say, Father, forgive them? If someone drove nails into my hands, into my feet, would I say, Father, forgive them? If someone lifted me up on a cross to die, would I say, Father, forgive them? If someone dropped me into that hole, all the pressure of my body going on my feet and my wrists, would I say, Father, forgive them? Today, at the slightest offense, we retaliate. We defend ourselves. You see, I'm going to fight. And yet, in the moment, in the greatest moment of physical agony in the life of Jesus Christ, he says, Father, forgive them. That was his request, plain and simple. In Acts, it describes a young man who was a follower of Christ, who died standing up for the life of Christ, and his name was Stephen. And Stephen died very much in the same way like Christ did. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." We can love the lovely. We can forgive the forgivable. But we are called to love the unlovely. And we are called to forgive the unforgivable. And Christ lived that out on the cross. The prayer has an object. The object is them. So he cries out to the person, the Father, and his request is, you know, God, forgive them. Everyone who killed him, that immediate world, the soldiers, or as they would call them, the death squad, forgive them. Their job was to nail criminals to the cross. And they had no sanctity for life. It was what I do, and I'm going to do it well. And while he was doing that, and as they were casting lots, and as they were thinking about the clothes and the money and all this, he says, forgive them. Those people right there. And yet what we're going to see later is this, is that that prayer ultimately comes down to me as well. The prayer has a reason. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They didn't realize some of their actions. They just simply followed orders, the death squad did. And yet this was the plan of God. Even on the cross, Christ displays his love. Father, I want you to forgive them because they just don't know what they're doing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul writes this. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. That's what God did for me. That's what Christ did for me, nailing it to the cross, taking my sins upon him. And you will see it later as you experience the other six statements of Christ. He took those on for me. And so when he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, I wonder to what extent do I play a part of that? Forgiveness is offered to us as well. So what would I have done? In part of my mind, I'd like to say I would have done exactly what God wanted me to do. If I was Stephen, would I say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing? Or would I defend myself? Frederick W. Faber, in 1849, he wrote these words about the cross of Christ. Seven times he spake, seven words of love, and all 3 hours his silence cried for the mercy on the souls of men, Jesus our Lord, crucified. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can call you Father. And Lord, at times our minds do not understand the full idea of your statement, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And yet, Lord, even as we can't understand it, we still find hope in it. We still find joy. God, we still find a peace knowing, God, that you went to that cross and you took upon the burden of all of man's sins upon you for me. Thank you for your example of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the example in Acts about the man named Stephen, who very much like you said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.